Good afternoon. It's 7 degrees and partly cloudy at 4 o'clock. From the QNET Newsroom, I'm Scott Gardner. The verdict in the high-profile case of Travis Vader and the two missing seniors he was convicted of killing has changed. An Edmonton judge has changed the verdict from murder to manslaughter. Justice Denny Thomas admits he made a mistake when he convicted Vader last month of second-degree murder in the death of Lyle and Mary McCann. Brett McCann, the couple's son, says he is satisfied with the manslaughter verdict and hopes Vader deeply regrets and learns from his crime.
At some point in the future, he'll be looking for a parole, and I'm hoping that he shows remorse and lets us all know where my parents' bodies are.
Critics have called the treatment of Adam Capay torture. Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne wasn't prepared to go that far, but she did say it was extremely disturbing. Capay spent a staggering 52 months in isolation at a Thunder Bay, Ontario jail, held in plexiglass cell with the lights on 24 hours a day.
I've said that it's extremely disturbing. I'm not going to make a judgment on a particular word or a particular characterization.
Ever since his case gained public attention, Capay has been moved to a standard cell. He's been granted access to a day room, telephone, and television, but is still forbidden from being part of the general population in the jail. In Montreal, a journalist from La Presse newspaper learned through his employer that at least 24 surveillance warrants were issued for his phone this year at the request of the police special investigation unit. Patrick Legas was livid after the discovery police monitored his iPhone for months in order to find out who he was speaking with.
This is a big thing in a country like Canada. Police was permitted to spy on the journalist under very, very thin motives. On a secondary part of a criminal investigation.
The surveillance was ordered as part of an internal probe into allegations that police anti-gang investigators fabricated evidence. Legas says La Presse is challenging the warrants in court. Margaret Farrell says her sister doesn't know the location of her daughter's grave in a Newfoundland cemetery. Farrell says that around 700 babies are buried in unmarked plots in Roman Catholic section of the Townsite Cemetery in Cornerbrook. Farrell and a group of volunteers have commissioned a monument to give people a place to mourn their little loved ones whose grave sites are unknown. Farrell says the cemetery's Roman Catholic Committee has spent the past 5 years quietly digging for information about children who were buried without markers up until the 1960s.
People that were related to these babies but had no way of finding out where they were. So they would call us with the hope that we would have some knowledge of it and be able to give it to them. But, I mean, we had nothing because we knew that they were there, but we could not tell people where they were.
In economic news, Canadian Finance Minister Bill Morneau delivers his false statement on the state of the economy tomorrow and the federal government's bottom line. Scotiabank is predicting a larger federal deficit than expected. The bank projects a $30 billion shortfall this year and a $32 billion deficit for 2017 as a result of the weakened economic situation. In March, the federal government forecast 2016's deficit to be $29.4 billion and $29 billion the following year. The perks of backup cameras are about to become more than just a perk. Starting in May of 2018, all new cars and small trucks in Canada must have rear-view camera systems, bringing Canadian standards in line with the United States. Transport Canada has posted the new regulation in the Canadian Gazette for a 75-day comment period. The department estimates between 2004 and 2009, 27 people were killed and more than 1,500 injured in backup mishaps. U.S. campaign news, Hillary Clinton is challenging the FBI's new email inquiry, saying there is no case here. Clinton says she's not making excuses for her use of a personal email address and personal internet server at the State Department, and she says if the FBI wants to investigate emails involving one of her closest aides, they should look at them. But she says she's sure the FBI will reach the same conclusion it did earlier this year, when the Bureau decided against prosecuting Clinton and her advisors for their handling of classified information. Clinton is speaking at a rally at Kent State University in Battleground, Ohio, kicking off the last full week of campaigning before Election Day. Her vice president nominee and running mate, Tim Kaine, is ratcheting up Democrats' warnings about the possibility of Donald Trump leading U.S. nuclear policy. Kaine said, "Trump as a commander-in-chief scares me to death." The Virginia senator referred to Trump saying U.S. allies like Japan, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia should maintain their own nuclear arsenals. Kaine recalled when Trump brushed off the possibility of North Korea starting a nuclear conflict in Asia by saying, "Good luck," and "Enjoy yourself, folks." Kaine's arguments come as the Clinton campaign has begun airing a new television ad in battleground states highlighting Trump's statements on nuclear weapons that fall outside existing U.S. nuclear strategy. The city of Orlando will be forced to reflect again on the tragic nightclub shootings from June 2016. A judge is ordering the city to release audio recordings of the Pulse nightclub gunman talking to police, dispatchers, and negotiators. But she won't rule on releasing other 911 calls until she has listened to them. Reporter Michael Schneider says that some families think the calls might shed more light on what occurred that horrible night.
During the hearing, the family members said that they hadn't gotten a whole lot of facts about what happened, and some of them were interested in listening to the calls so they could better understand a timeline of events that night.
That's QNET News at 4:05. Sports is next.
Unemployed, underemployed, or looking for a new career? Loyalist College wants to put you to work. Find out how during Loyalist College Open House, Saturday, November 12th from 1 till 4. Consult with Loyalist faculty about more than 60 full-time programs, as well as distance studies and continuing education options. Learn about second career funding and prior learning assessment and recognition. Visit Loyalist College Open House, Saturday, November 12th from 1 till 4, and enter a draw for a $1,000 bursary. Loyalist College, they put you to work.
Good afternoon. Now for QNET Sports. Loyalist Lancers basketball defeated the Georgian Grizzlies this weekend, the men posting a 76-65 victory, and the women's team winning a thriller 55-52. Lancers volleyball split against George Brown College on Saturday, with the women's team winning 3-1 and the men's team losing in straight sets. The Lancers men's basketball team is on the road to Fleming College this Thursday night at 7 p.m., and the weekend schedule for the Lancers volleyball is packed, as the men and women team visit Algonquin on Friday night at 6 p.m. and Le Site at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Braden Storts tied the game in the third period, but his Wellington Dukes were unable to secure the win against Oakville on Saturday night, losing in overtime by a score of 2-1. Braden Storts was the goal scorer for the Wellington. The Dukes are in action again this Friday night against Aurora. Puck drop is 7:30 p.m. Halloween night is a silent one in the NHL, with no games on the schedule. Tuesday night, the Toronto Maple Leafs will try and bounce back from their 5-1 defeat in New York when they host the surprise leaders of the Pacific Division, the Edmonton Oilers, at 7:30. Elsewhere, the Ottawa Senators will try and string a couple of wins together when they host the Carolina Hurricanes. The Toronto Raptors will once again be without the services of new forward Jared Sullinger, who is still out with a foot injury tonight against the visiting Denver Nuggets. In the OHL, the division-leading Oshawa Generals were victorious 3-1 over the Sudbury Wolves, and Peterborough secured a 4-2 win over Flint, improving their record to an even 6 wins and 6 losses on the season. The Kingston Frontenacs kept pace, posting a 3-0 win, and stay just one behind the Petes in the East Division. Ottawa was victorious over Hamilton by a score of 5-4. Chicago Cubs fans are feeling confident after their team avoided elimination in Game 5 of the World Series against the Cleveland Indians. Ryan Burrow has more.
Cubs fans are feeling good about their chances going into Game 6 of the World Series, even though they're still down 3-2.
One more. Some good pitchers coming up. Their bats are swinging.
The Cubs do well on the road, so I'm hopeful.
I feel great about Game 6. I think Arrieta is set up. I mean, heck, he almost threw a no-hitter the other night. I think he's going to come back and throw a great game.
The Cubs' Jake Arrieta gets the start against the Indians' Josh Tomlin for Game 6 in Cleveland Tuesday night. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
Tomorrow's Game 6, the Cleveland Indians will have a chance to clinch the World Series title. Send us your team or league scores by email at qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. Now for the weather. The forecast, the cloud cover is expected to continue into this Halloween night. Temperatures expected to drop to 2 degrees. Tomorrow, the very first day of November, looks mainly cloudy and 15 degrees. It's 4:08, 7 degrees, and mostly cloudy. This has been QNET News, on air at 91X, and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Scott Gardner from QNET News. Next news at 91X at 5 p.m.